listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live on a Thursday, week before the Super Bowl. 200 FSR stations across this great nation. And we got Brad Powers in studio right now. Fezzik, one of his famous study days. Brad's got a big smile on his face. He won a bet yesterday. You'd think it was like the first one ever, but just so happy. And he's going to tell the story on it. And he won against me. I can't lie. It felt very, very lucky. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. But you can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, on a day in which we've got news out of the NFL in Las Vegas, we've also got the Super Bowl fastly approaching, now less than a week and a half away. What is the Vegas lead there in Vegas?
To me, and I was surprised, because if you said we'd be talking NBA first this close to the Super Bowl, I'd say no way. Zion is a phenomenon, no doubt about it. And when it comes to where Zion ranks, speaking of Brad, where he ranks with the other rookies, he's got a take that, what's hotter than hot?
What Brad's about to say in about 5 minutes.
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
So, yes, we start with Zion Williamson. He made his NBA debut last night, off to a slow start at home against the Spurs. New Orleans still lost the game, but the story was Zion's fourth quarter. 17 consecutive points at one point for the New Orleans Pelicans, and he finished in his debut with 22 total.
So Zion had how many consecutive?
17.
In a row?
In a row.
No dunks, though.
No.
Like a three-point specialist.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, let me say this. I think that Jonas, would you say in general you root for the underdog?
It depends. Usually whatever's going to piss the most people off. That's just kind of
okay,
what I
root for. But in your heart, not for your media career, but in your heart, do you root for the underdog?
Yeah, I guess I lean more towards the underdog, I guess.
Because this is what confuses me. It's been crazy in the last 6 months. I mean, like, what's it been? Like 65% of the bets
here?
I mean, like, insane. Not one time has Jonas ever texted me any congratulations. But somehow in this story you're going to quickly tell about your winning bet, Jonas is texting you exclamation points, high five emojicons, or whatever they're called. Why?
I can't confirm nor deny any of that. I do not know if any of that is accurate.
So yesterday Brad said, listen, Barney at the bar, Freddie Fanny Pack, and me all think that Zion is going to score a lot of points. You know why? Because he was the number one pick in the draft. And he's good. He can dunk. So it was that kind of level of analysis. So Fezzik, who's always looking to exploit that level of analysis, bet against him. And I thought, you know something? Brad isn't considering usage. I think that Zion's efficiency, I thought, might have been good last night, but the usage was going to be the problem. So I bet against him too. And Brad, it was a, let's just say this, it was a ebb and a flow.
Certainly. And at the start of it, we get done with our podcast taping. I turn on my truck and FSR is on my truck. And here's the first thing I'm hearing. They're talking about Zion. He looks overweight tonight. He looks slow. No effort on defense. They were questioned, why is he even playing tonight if he looks this bad?
So no, you hadn't heard the stats yet at this
point. I hadn't heard the stats yet at this point. So I am behind you at a traffic light. I look up the stats. I see the game's in the fourth quarter. Zion has 5 points. I shut off FSR. I shut off my phone. I go back to my place. I start making a sandwich, and all of a sudden...
So is this, first off, is this like generally when you get disappointed?
Yeah.
Do you eat?
I do eat.
You go like
when depression hits, I start
it's like
eating.
Right in, like, do you, is there, what is like your default? Like, is it peanut butter?
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Like, did your mommy make you those?
Yeah, I cut them diagonally.
Oh my gosh.
In fours.
So literally it was so bad he went to the peanut butter and jelly.
I did. And this is literally in real time, maybe 7-8 minutes later, I get a text on my phone. I'm thinking, oh.
How many sandwiches?
Only one down at this point. So it's Jonas. And I just see Zion with 3 exclamation points.
Oh my gosh, this guy.
But I actually think he's making fun of me. So I'm thinking, oh, he's
You're
making
the underdog,
fun of me.
So,
yeah, I'm thinking, ah, oh, he's making fun of me. So I just happen to glance at my phone, and that's exactly during that stretch run where Zion scored 17 points in 3 minutes.
Well, let's just say this. Brad, you celebrated.
Yep.
Jonas celebrated. Barney at the bar celebrated. So congratulations. I think there's bigger issues here, though. And to me, here's the question. The game was at stake. It was crunch time after that run, and Zion was sitting on the bench. Now, I get it. First game back, you know, restricted minutes make some sense. But here's the question. When you have guys, you know, major media guys saying things like, maybe he should redshirt. And we had yesterday Jalen Rose talking about that. Maybe he should redshirt. And it's like, this guy had a knee injury, right? This wasn't some catastrophe. It was a knee injury. And we're talking about redshirting and his weight and that he's going to be prone to injury. You're hearing Colin on the Herd talk about torque and all these things. It's like, man, when did this go from him having an injury? I mean, he played in the summer leagues, right? What did he play? Yep. Like 4 minutes before he got hurt?
Yep.
To the idea he's fragile. He's like that Sunday car that the middle-aged guy only brings out on sunny Sunday. It has to be Sunday and it has to be sunny. Is he that already? He's like 19 years old. And to me, that's the question, is if Bill Walton, is this a Bill Walton situation that when he's healthy for those 14 games, we're going to be dreaming about how great he could have been, you know, if he had a full career, or is this just a aberration? Is this a injury that happened? He's got an injury history.
Yep.
He seems prone to weight gain. I mean, I don't know if he eats peanut butter and jelly, what if it's depression, but he doesn't, he's not, doesn't feel slender, like he's moving towards slender. And here's the thing that came up during the meeting, and this is shocking, but I think it's a reasonable question. If we redrafted this year's rookie class right now, would Zion go number one?
And RJ, I think if it's a 51% chance, if I got to make a bet.
So you think it's pretty close.
Yeah, I think it's close. It's a little bit slightly more than 50-50. If I have to make a bet, I say no, he doesn't go number one. Ja Morant goes number one.
Now think about this. Brad is not a hot take guy. Cold cash over hot takes. I mean, look, he was good. He was eating himself to death over losing a one little prop bet, right? I mean, he was that serious about it. And he's saying, I would bet at even money, Morant would go first. Now, obviously, this is speculation. And it's not like Morant has exceeded expectations by that much, right? Memphis has, but as Morant, yeah, a little bit, but not crazy. He's not. And entering this draft, literally, the thought was LeBron James 17 or 18 drafts ago, best what do you call it, prospect?
Yep.
In all, you know, who knows for how long, and that literally Zion was the next best since. So like, if there were 17 drafts, how valuable was the number one pick? It was the most valuable this past draft. Now, most people agree with that, right, Jonas?
Yeah.
That Zion was that desired.
Yeah, he was the guy to get over the past several years above any other one.
One injury later, and that's several years. I'm saying, Anthony Davis maybe was in the conversation, but man, it felt like Zion was the guy.
Yep.
And one injury later, and a reasonable Vegas expert like Brad Powers thinks that Morant at least has a 50% chance if they redrafted to go before him. And you're saying actually you would bet Morant would. Jonas, first off, this is one of those things. It's not what you would draft. It's what you think a front office would do. What do you think, Morant versus Zion right now, if there was a redraft?
I think a majority would still take Zion. One, for the revenue that he would bring in. I think he's more of a money generator than Ja Morant is. I think that's why. And also, I think they still would need to see another injury before they would go that far. But I do think the gap is close and has gotten closer based on Morant's play. And the fact that, look, when you hear stories that Zion, they had to reteach him how to walk. I mean, what are we talking about here? I mean, that
I don't know. Wow. I didn't even know the injury was so bad.
Yeah.
And you're talking about, the financial side of it, which is a consideration. But the question is, if the guy doesn't ultimately play 40% of the games in the next 10 years, how does that affect your finances, right?
Great point.
And it feels like Morant really is a kind of guy that, I don't know, but he feels like the modern NBA feels like Steph Curry's league, right?
Yeah.
And obviously Zion, he can shoot as many threes as he wants. That's not his game.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
Yep. You got to wonder, this guy who is going to be a lumbering type, it seems. Now, could he be a type like Draymond Green, you know, where he can defend fives or whatever? But they're saying he's what, 6'6"?
He's
not really the close to a 7 foot. I mean, like Durant towers over him, right?
Yep. What jumped out to me was he looked bigger last night than he did in college. And in college, he's playing against smaller players.
Ooh, it's the old relativity.
Yeah, and so and
I think Einstein talked
time.
About that.
Yeah, I think so. That's where I got it from. Yeah.
So think about that. What he's saying is it's hard to tell how big someone really is unless, you know, you're comparing them to someone else. And in college, obviously the players aren't as big. And now against men in the NBA, Zion looked bigger.
He looked heavier, which isn't good.
I think it's peanut butter and jelly.
No.
So to wrap, and this is, this is a conversation that others aren't having, right? Brad Powers believes that if there was a redraft right now, there's a better than 50% chance Morant goes over Zion, considering the fact that Zion's gone from, he got hurt, to, wow, minutes restrictions. How long are those going to go? And what's the chance of this guy playing? Like, if I said right now, this guy's going to play three seasons in a row from here, or even the rest of this season and two more, with no major injuries, doesn't miss more than six straight games. So you can still miss 3-4 games with an ankle. I would bet a monster bet right now, no.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, I don't
Jonas?
Think he does. No.
But if you add a normal player that plays, you know, a good normal player like a Durant, you know, now he's coming back from injury, but Durant when he was a rookie or whatever, I would have made a major bet. Yeah, he'll play 2.5 years without really getting paid. So it feels like the conversation has turned with Zion. On one hand, his performance, outstanding. 22 points, 18 minutes, outstanding. His durability, you know, availability. Boy, I think it's such a big question now that he might not even be the number one pick in the draft, is what Brad thinks. That is a major change. When we come back, speaking of a change, Las Vegas and gambling, that's always been the case. The NFL and gambling, it hasn't. Another embrace with the Raiders and with a big casino in Vegas.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will get into a brand new introduction for the city of Las Vegas.
You're listening to, and thanks for joining us, the fastest growing show on FSR. Our ratings are up double since last year, year over year. Double. Love it. Thank you. Your support means a lot. You can listen on hundreds of FSR stations across the country. Also, iHeartRadio app, FoxSportsRadio.com, SiriusXM, and anytime on demand podcast, just search RJ Bell. Right now on the Strip. What is it on the Strip? Somehow the weather, it's 66 degrees And the neon is, let me look closely, it's chugging.
So, RJ, speaking of Las Vegas, it is official. The Raiders, no longer in Oakland, now a resident of the city of Las Vegas, introduced on Wednesday. And, of course, the conversation now turns to the gambling aspects of the Raiders now in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and listen, we've said it, we'll keep saying it. NFL has been hypocritical about gambling. They've benefited from it. And they were sanctimonious about it. Oh, boo, ooh, ooh, ugly. Ugh. And then when the money became right, they became less sanctimonious about it. So, what happened? Raiders officially became the Las Vegas Raiders. There was an event at the stadium, Allegiant Stadium. And it kind of was weird. The governor was there.
Yeah.
But then it was a bunch of yellow-shirted, you know, construction guys there cheering, and they're happy because they got a job over, you know, the stadium being built. But it was like they didn't. I don't know if they didn't let the public in or no public showed up. But in general, the interest in the Raiders is significant. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, Brian? Absolutely.
Now the MGM, right? So it's MGM Mirage, but MGM, you've all heard of it. A lot of big fights at the MGM. Signed as the official gaming partner, not of the NFL, of the Raiders.
Yeah.
So an individual team, the Vegas team now, has a gaming partner. Now, what are they getting for that? Signage in the stadium, okay, and naming rights. Wait, naming rights to the stadium? I thought it was Allegiant. No. To rooms in the stadium. So think about how far the Raiders have come from open urinals at the in Oakland to a place where they're getting paid millions of dollars to name rooms in the bowels of the stadium, meeting rooms. I mean, literally, that's the commerce opportunity that Las Vegas offers.
And I'm a little surprised you didn't say betting kiosk at the stadium, RJ. No MGM betting kiosk?
Listen, the NFL, to me, the organization that it most reminds me of is the mafia. Now, there's a lot of speculation. Is there a mafia or not? You know, we can debate that. Tony Soprano said no. But here's what I know is what does the mafia typically do? They want to own things. They want to self-deal. They want to own the construction company, but also have the construction company charging too much and all that kind of shenanigans. And that's a nice word for it, shenanigans. But you know what the NFL does here? They literally will say, listen, one day, and that day will likely come, we're going to do business with a casino. We're going to do business with a sports book. And if you, and in this case, it's the Raiders using the NFL playbook, is if you become the gaming partner, whatever that means, or if you buy this or buy that, yeah, it's going to be mighty expensive, but it gets you in the door. And then when the next negotiation comes up, you'll be in prime position. Yeah, you'll pay out the nose there too, but you'll be in prime position to pay us. There's a company called Sports Radar, which has a multiple billion-dollar valuation that is a aggregator of sports betting data. The NFL actually owns, not the Raiders, the NFL owns a portion of Sports Radar because years and years ago, Sports Radar came and said, we want to be in business with you, to the NFL. And the NFL said, listen, we're not going to sell you any data, but you can be our official data partner, or whatever it was, right? I don't remember the exact phrase. And it was like $100+ million, the deal. And all they really effectively got was they got to know the people, and the people, NFL vice presidents, the decision makers, shake the commissioner's hand. And then about 6 months ago, when the deal on the data happened, they actually made it with Sports Radar. But oh, by the way, part of that initial deal was like the $100 million in cash, but also ownership.
Wow.
So like the mafia, the NFL has ownership in Sports Radar. Did they pay for it? Well, let's just say it was all rolled into that deal, right? I don't know if they wrote a separate check and then the check came back. You know, that's all tax accounting stuff. But ultimately, it was pretty much give us a portion of your company and pay us a lot of money, and one day we might do business with you. And Sports Radar was probably smart to say yes.
Yep.
And now they have the deal, and it's not that different from what we saw just now today. MGM, what are they getting? They're getting a few signs up. They're getting a few rooms named after them, and they're paying some real money, and that's it. What's going to happen next? They're paying for access. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. It's great that the NFL is that big time they can do it, but don't be mistaken. It's about the money. It's not about, because doesn't seem like anyone's had any come to Jesus moment of like, you know, for a long time I thought it was unethical to gamble, but you know, I saw this documentary on Netflix and now I'm realizing no, that RJ Bell is right. Gambling actually, corruption decreases with legalization. So pay us, you know, hundreds of millions and we'll do something. No, no, no. It was BS before. It's BS now. It's all about the money. And the NFL is in a position to demand big money just for access. And that's what happened. But I think it's fair to say the embrace of Vegas and the Raiders, it's not only an embrace, it's official.
Yep.
And the embrace of the NFL and gambling, when you have a team that has an official gaming partner, that's pretty serious.
It is.
So this weekend, speaking of the Raiders, Tom Brady was in Vegas.
Yeah, so big UFC fight on Saturday night with Conor McGregor, and Tom Brady seen chatting it up with the Raiders owner, Mark Davis, bringing a lot of questions about Tom Brady's future.
Now, here's the question I've got. How did, you know, I've been to numerous fights at the MGM. I've been in, you know, with press credentials. And, you know, there's a pit of press people, and there's a lot of them. You could be there, not see a given person that might be there. Now, the VIP section is so much bigger. How did Brady end up next to an NFL owner? I mean, was that just a coincidence? Did Brady ask for it? Had they been communicating in some other way? Jonah, did you get any sense of Brady and Davis talking beforehand?
I mean, I saw them speaking. I wondered how much of an influence Dana White had in all this, because I know Dana White is friends with Tom Brady because he's a big-time Patriots fan, but he's also got a team now in his city, and I just wonder if maybe Dana White somehow facilitated the meeting. You know.
Now, when you say you saw them talking, what? How? Like, you mean in the footage, the coverage after
yes.
the fight?
Yeah, the coverage. Okay. Coverage. Well, they showed him during the fight. You know,
I didn't know if Jonas was walking around on the floor of the MGM, yeah. high five. No.
Yeah, I dressed up as a Blue Man Group member, and I was just walking
like
around.
Like TV12, said, what's happening?
That's what I was doing.
That's Jonas. We are straight out of Vegas. He's in L.A. He's not Vegas. He's L.A., baby. Look at his hair. Now, I can't lie. The reaction I saw from Derek Carr after this Brady stuff, he is not my, I would not want this guy as my NFL quarterback. So literally it was like, hey, Brady was talking to your owner and his response was.
Yeah. So Derek Carr says, you think everyone would be like, yes, we're going the right way. Everything's getting better. You would think that would be the story, but that's not how it works. And I understand that now.
So wait a minute, Derek Carr's in his 30s, he's got multiple kids, and somehow he's realizing that if the greatest quarterback in history, who's a free agent, is talking to your owner, that that's going to be reported on, and potentially people might get excited by it. And he's like, now, I mean, literally the quote is, and I understand that now. How many wins did they have last year?
Seven.
Well, here- Well, but here's the other thing that he doesn't, and Derek Carr fans don't take this into consideration. If John Gruden traded,
there's fans of Derek Carr.
Yeah, believe it or not, if John Gruden traded Khalil Mack because they weren't winning with that big giant salary, why would you keep it on the roster? What makes anybody think that Derek Carr is immune to the same treatment? They're not winning with him, so if you can find a cheaper option,
you're saying
take
seven
it.
Wins doesn't give you the career security for like multiple years?
Not for me personally, but I don't run a team, so who knows?
All right, so listen, you might think, but they're on the right track. Isn't that what Derek Carr
said? Yeah,
that's
what he said.
Well, because of the interest in the Raiders, there's already odds up on every game, every Raiders game next year. And Brad, there's only, this is shocking, two games that the Raiders are favored by more than 1 point. They got two games they're favored by a point, and only two games are favored by more than that.
Yeah, and the Raiders are a 3-point home favorite against the Broncos and a 6-point home favorite against the Dolphins. That's it.
And they're over under win total, so 16 games, how many are they going to win? 6.5.
Yeah.
So literally, if they win 7 again, the Raiders exceed expectation. So
they'd be heading in the right way.
Well, it'd be like Derek Carr would be like, I should be sitting on with Jonas and stuff ringside at the big UFC next year. I mean, I didn't like what I saw from Derek Carr from the Hard Knocks. But man, oh man, the idea that somehow you were an innocent, but now you see how dastardly this world really is because Tom Brady's talking to your owner and somehow that excites the fans. That means you're not a child. I mean, like, even if you're 9 years old, you would get that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't seem too strong-willed right now.
Good point.
Last thought on the Raiders. What do you think the home field advantage is going to be like? Because on one hand, what the Raiders did, or check that, what Vegas did with the Golden Knights, the enthusiasm, the support, the amount of merchandise, this town embraced a hockey team probably double what I expected.
Agree.
And it strikes me the Raiders, because they're outlaws and they are one of the cool franchises, and Vegas is an outlaw city. And there's a lot of LA transplants, a lot of, even Oakland Bay Area transplants here. It felt like a good fit, and it feels like the enthusiasm is quite strong. On the other hand, boy, the money. This is all about money here. It's all about Vegas and high rollers. Could this potentially have like a bowl game feel where that everyone is so rich they're not even cheering?
Yeah, and could have a corporate feel. The PSLs, the personal seat license, already sold out, RJ, and only about 50% are from the state of Nevada. So I'm a little pessimistic about the home field advantage that the Raiders will have, because another reason is, if you're going to make one trip as an opposing fan base for the next couple of years, you're coming here. I expect to see a lot of opposing fans in the stadium.
That's fascinating. I think it could be both. I think it will be the fraction of the percentage of the crowd that's the hardcore working class crowd will likely be smaller, but I think they're going to be super enthused.
Good point.
I wonder if they're thinking of trying to create not like a dog pound type with batteries being thrown or whatever, but like a certain area, like a student section type area that there is a fanaticism about it.
Like they had in Oakland, the Black Hole.
Yeah, yeah. Though, again, not that rough.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the final point is, back when the Allegiant Stadium deal was made, we talked about the idea that they're making, what was it, $25 million a year or something? Whereas it wasn't, it was like, back in Oakland, it was like one-tenth that or something. Is just the idea you got a gaming partner. The seat license is already sold out. Though in L.A., the Chargers can't hardly sell any. It goes to show you this town was hungry for it, but Vegas also has the infrastructure for this kind of thing. And man, I'm excited myself, but that's because of those Fox credentials. I just want to walk by and, I'm not exactly sure Jonas can help me understand how that works, but, I'm going to finally be a media guy, I think, when the Steelers come to town.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
So Fez loves Jimmy G. We know that. In fact, we got sound to prove it. I mean, if you listen to the register of his voice, it's disturbing.
I love Jimmy G.
I mean, it's just weird. But I do think Jimmy G is the key question here. We know we haven't seen him throw high volume in the playoffs. Now, I totally get the idea San Fran didn't need to do that, so why would they risk it? Great, but it still is an unanswered question. So what we did was, Jonas, we dug in and said, let's look at this year especially, because he had that run where when he came over with the trade. There was, what, four or five games in which he threw a bunch. 49ers had, they were like winless or something, right? When he started that trend, or it was really bad because I think Bathard was there in the midseason, and Hoyer had done pretty well, but they lost a lot of close games earlier, the 49ers. And Jimmy G was just pulling out miracle finishes, high volume throwing games. Yep. But really, the opponents that year were not all motivated. In fact, you mentioned in our prep meeting, Jacksonville had already locked up and other teams.
And then the Rams in week 17 of that year, it set all their starters in that game.
So we said, let's look at this year only, Jimmy G, and how his pass volume, how many times he passed the ball, how that affected his performance. And it, at first glance, it looks like it does. So the times that he threw less than 25 times, there were seven games. His QBR, which is 1 to 100 on a percentage basis, was 63, right? When he threw more than 32 times, so 33 or more, it was 59, and there were six games. So you can say 59, 63, but then you look in the middle, when he threw 25 to 32, it was the worst, it was 50. So it, you know, in a way, you could say, well, if you actually blend, and maybe that's what we should do during the break, McKenzie, is let's blend the 25 and above and 24 and below. And my guess is we're going to be looking about at 55. And if you have a QBR of 55 when you go 25 or more throws, and a QBR of 63 when you go less than 25 throws, that's 8 percentage points. You're starting to see what I think might be the story here, which is what happens if 49ers are down 7 with 4 minutes left and the 49ers have the ball. Because I know if Kansas City has the ball down 7 with 4 minutes left, I'm feeling okay.
Yep.
If I'm on KC. I don't like it, but I'm feeling okay. But if Jimmy G has the ball with 4 minutes left, down 7, I'm not as confident.
Right.
And I think the numbers, and we'll get the exact ones, are going to back that up. So when we come back, we'll go over that. And Brad, you've got a best bet, right?
I do, in college hoops tonight.
All right. So we're going to talk about that and the Jimmy G numbers.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up in just a few moments, we will get a best bet from Brad Powers in college basketball for later tonight. But RJ, we were talking about the big question mark heading into Super Bowl 54, and it's none other than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I mean, let's just pose the question again. Imagine you bet at Pick'em, and we'll talk about the lines and any market changes here in a second. But imagine you bet around Pick'em, Kansas City. And imagine Kansas City is down, let's say, 4 points. And they got the ball with 4 minutes left. I'm not sure what the in-game odds would say. I'm probably figuring we're 50-50 even then.
Yep.
I know that's probably not that high, but I'm feeling okay, right?
Yep.
Now imagine San Francisco down 4 minutes left with the ball on their own 20. I'm a lot less optimistic. Does anyone disagree with that?
No.
No.
So what does it come down to? It comes down to Jimmy G when he has to throw. Because what we know is he didn't have to throw in either playoff game. So it's fair to say Jimmy G has not had to throw high volume, third and 12s where they know you're going to throw. This is a league about third and 12, can you get that first when the other team knows you have to throw? Jimmy G, his career has had zero playoff games that he's had to do that. So the question becomes, how has Jimmy G done high volume throwing games where he had to throw a bunch for whatever reason? And we broke it down, just did the extra work during the break. Jimmy G this season in games he threw the ball 25 times or more has a QBR of 54. A little bit above average, smidge above average. In games, he threw the ball 25 times, or less than 25 times. Less than 25 times, 63. 54, 63. That's 9 percentage points difference. That's a lot. So we can now say in a definitive way, when Jimmy G has to throw more, his efficiency suffers. And also, he's never thrown more in a playoff game, ever.
Yep.
That is uncertain. Mahomes, there's certainty there, baby. He's fine in that regard. So, Jonas, when you look at the market right now, the odds, what's your gut feeling? Total's going up. What do we see here? 54.5? Yeah, and there's no 54s left.
No, and Kansas City is sitting at -1. They've been pretty much at the same spot the entire week.
Yeah, but I tell you, I'm looking at Pinnacle. So if you go to pregame.com, we have a free odds. I think it's the best free odds out there, real time. And right now at Pinnacle, it's -1, -14 on the Chiefs. Now, what does that mean? You got to pay almost a dime more when it comes to Kansas City. A VIG. So the typical VIG at Pinnacle, it's a reduced juice shop, is -105. Here it's -114 to lay the one. My gut feeling is, I'm looking, the square books are at one, the sharp books are moving towards 1.5. I'll make a prediction. This time tomorrow, in the final segment of the show, right before the 7 o'clock hour, we'll do another market report. I think the line's going to be 1.5.
Wow.
That's right. Yeah, it's a nice tick up.
Yeah.
And I think this thing closes, you know, upwards of 2.5. That's my prediction right now. I think Kansas City is the better team. We've got a $5,000 ticket we put on Twitter at RJ in Vegas for the AFC at Pick'em. So I want this thing to keep going up so I feel sharper. But when I see you laying 14 at Pinnacle, the early sharp money, even in the last 24 hours, Kansas City, and I agree with it.
We've got a best bet in college hoops coming up here in just one moment. Want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day store pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,600 AutoZone locations. Get in the zone. AutoZone, best bet time in college hoops from Brad Powers.
Yeah, and I'm going tonight, Pac-12 action, Washington -1 tonight. And to me, Washington underrated. Why? Let's look at how Washington's done the last 7 games. Washington 2-5. Uh-oh, that doesn't sound too good. But in those 5 losses for Washington, all 5 by 6 points or less, including a couple losses in overtime. So you change just 1 or 2 shots there, and this Washington team likely wins another game or two. I'm here to telling you right now, Washington's not laying 1 if that's the case. They're laying more like 2 or 3 value. More value on Washington? Let's talk the matchup here. Statistics say Utah's got a good offense. However, Utah's strength of schedule, they haven't played a lot of good defenses. Washington has one. In fact, Utah's only played 2 games this season against 2 top 25 defenses. How did Utah do in those games? They lost by 39 to Colorado and 28 to San Diego State. Washington's only laying 1 here. Best bet, Huskies -1.
Okay, this line was Pick'em, so it's already moving in your direction, right? So really, I think that's a strong handicap. What you're saying here is this. Close game luck. That really was the driver of Seattle being overrated in the NFL, driver of Green Bay being overrated. You win an inordinate number of close games, you're just overrated.
Yep.
Because people are so obsessed with the one loss record. Number two, you're saying, hey, Utah has a good offense, but they haven't played any really good defenses. Almost like the New England defense this year was thought to be world class, but it was because they were playing so many weak
offenses.
Great
analogy.
So Brad Powers, best bet on Washington college basketball.
Motherfucker made himself some money.
Wow. Brad Powers, he cashed a ticket last night too. 20 seconds, you're on a diet. You're trying to slim down for the Super Bowl. What, I mean, the peanut butter sandwich.
That was a moment of weakness.
And have you eaten anything since?
I haven't, just a Slim Fast this morning.
And this guy, I mean, Jonas, this guy maybe could lose 15 pounds, but he's like fat. He's on like the potato soup diet just because he's going to South Beach.
Well, there are ways you can lose weight in South Beach. I wouldn't recommend him, though. You know. All right,
I don't even know what he's talking about.
We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeart Radio app.
Straight out of Vegas!